Matthew 25. It's a new season.
Yes, it is.
How many of y'all know we entered a new season? Yeah, man. Matthew 25. Is everybody there? Today's my anniversary of being married for 21 years with my wife. And I want you to know that we didn't go to dinner or go on vacation. We came to the house of God. Yeah! To God be the glory. 21 years. We've been together 33 years. Married 8 years as heathens. Divorced for 3 years and remarried. That's got to be God. It is, I can tell you. And the word says something in the area of, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. You know, we've been talking about living truth and things, and about being in God's presence, and everything still revolves around the tabernacle of God. And we talked in the area that there are three chambers in the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And we try to reach the most holy place ourselves. He just said, no. But it's difficult. See, when we come together, it's an opportunity to reach the most holy place. Because when we reach the most holy place, if you're willing to sacrifice yourself, deny yourself, and get and fight through the chambers to the most holy place, there's a place to you where you see differently and hear differently. It's totally different than the other two chambers. And that's one of the things God is. Let me share this with you, that it is essential that we reach the most holy place in these days. It's essential. Because deception, the Bible says something very powerful. Many will fall from the faith. They'll still accept, they'll proclaim that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior, but they're not doing His will. And there's a difference. They can even go to church and not reach the most holy place. See, people can come but never reach it. Because they're really not fighting for the presence of God. They're just doing a ritual. That's why the Lord says, who do you say that I am? And in Matthew 25, in verse 1, it says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins. The word virgins here means clean. Now, when you and I were out there and we were dirty, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we repent for our sins, we were washed by the blood and we were considered a virgin. We're a virgin. Now, we may contaminate ourselves, but what we do again is we repent for our sins and become clean again. And he said that there was 10 of these virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Took no oil with them. Let me tell you something. There is a specific type of anointing in the third chamber. It's called gold. There is a golden oil that is released. And in that chamber, the golden oil that's released. See, in the second chamber, it's all displayed. There's the seven lamps. See, all of these are preparation to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and get in the most holy place. The first chamber is to get washed with repentance through the blood and sacrifice. The second chamber is to be filled with the Spirit. And the third chamber, because the anointing breaks yoke, is to receive a kingly anointing where it's different. And there is a golden oil that comes down and pours upon us. And it not only brings light and truth, but such revelation. And there's a different sight. It's different vision. It brings fresh vision. It brings a different vision. You see things differently. You don't see things as a wall. You see through them. You see things through everything. And he said, five of them were foolish. Five of them were wise. So five of them didn't maintain the oil. Has everybody got it? They didn't maintain the anointing. And verse 5, and it says, and while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Go out. Well, where is the bridegroom? He is in the third chamber in the most holy place. Has everybody got it? He's not in the second chamber. He's not in the first chamber. He is in the third chamber. And it says, go out to meet him. Verse 7, and all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They couldn't make it into the third chamber. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell it. In other words, there's a price to pay for that oil. There's a price to pay to get into that place. And buy for yourselves. No one can buy your oil. You must purchase it yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. What chamber? The third chamber. And the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The oil is the anointing of God. It is also known as the oil of gold or golden oil. Now, there's something specific about gold. In the color gold in the Bible, in the biblical terms, it's a representation of God's glory, God's presence, God's power, and His wisdom. Gold. Gold is used in many ways. Gold is used to conduct electricity. Amen? It's used in wires and computers, space crafts and all kinds of stuff, communications and technology. Gold is used. There's something about gold. It reflects life and illuminates a specific glow when light is shining on it. Gold also protects, preserves, and covers. Because it's easily used. It can be easily molded. It can be poured. Gold holds a value. It doesn't tarnish. And it maintains a specific beauty to it. It is one of the most desired things by mankind. It's also used as money to purchase. Of course, we're supposed to be backed by all of our money today, but When it is put in a fire, it becomes transparent. It becomes clear. There is a spiritual gold and a physical gold. And I want to say that there's a spiritual gold with a physical appearance. Physical, and there is also the physical world worships a physical gold. The offsprings of God worship a spiritual gold because of its representation. It's associated with the anointing, the glory of God, the presence of God. In Exodus 25, Exodus 25. Anybody ever say to you, man, you're glowing? It's because you've hit the third chamber.
Amen.
And oil's been poured on you. And you're reflecting His light and His character. You've been covered. In Exodus 25 in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. The first thing is what? Gold. Silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And let them make me a what? A sanctuary, that I may dwell what? Among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and a cubit and a half its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And you shall what? Overlay it with what? Pure gold. Inside and out. You shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, and 2 rings on the other. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, and the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles that shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. You shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and a cubit and a half its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered, in other words, it was molded. Hammered work you shall make them. At the 2 ends of the mercy seat, make 1 cherub at 1 end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the end, 2 ends of it, in 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above the covering, the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The face of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will what? Meet you. I will meet with you, I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are on the ark of the covenant, or ark of the testimony. About everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So there's something specific about the tabernacle. What does they do? He meets us there. Everything in the tabernacle is associated with, is overlaid with gold, which is a representation of His glory, His presence, His power, His truth, His character. I want you to know that we assemble together, we establish a tabernacle. Everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. Everything. And so many times there's a neglect of assembling. And we wonder why we don't see things through and we miss things. And there's the delay of God to answer prayer. Because we're not putting the assembling priority. That was their priority, was to assemble the tabernacle. Why? Because that's where He met them. That's where the gold was poured over. Does everybody get this? Hallelujah. In Hebrews 9, Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Hebrews 9, verse 1. That indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. We call that the holy place. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, that is the third chamber, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory. Why? Because they were gold. So He was called the cherubim of glory because it was gold. Overshadowing the mercy seat, of these things we can now speak in detail. Again, the ark that was placed in the most holy place where the testimony was placed in it, Aaron's rod, the priest representing priesthood, everything that was overlaid with gold as a representation of the temple of God in the tabernacle, but that which was to come. It was a representation that ark of testimony will become His vessels of gold. Me and you, offsprings. And it would be birthed out of the holies of holies. Is everybody okay? The most holy place, the ark behind a veil, meeting place to be saturated with spiritual gold of anointing oil and of His glory by the assembling of His people. Again, when we assemble together, we are building a tabernacle. In Acts chapter 1, and the gold represents the anointing, doesn't it? So we want to be overlaid with gold. In Acts 1 and verse 4, it says, and being what? Being what? Now, why were they assembling to what? Establish the tabernacle. Does everybody get it? The word says when two are gathered together, He's in the what? Midst. Well, is He not the tabernacle? Yeah. And Jesus said, being assembled together with them, Jesus made a commandment. He what? He commanded them. He commanded them. Remember when we talked last week? Anyway. I lose days, man. Anyways, when we last assembled, we were talking about we come into the tabernacle and assembled and waiting for what? Commands. We come together to establish the tabernacle and wait for the commands of the Lord. And what did he do here? He commanded them, didn't he? Were they not assembled together? So they did what? They were assembled together. It means they've established the tabernacle. Jesus came to meet them and speak to them. Just like he did in the Old Testament with the tabernacle. And he said to them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, I will overlay you with gold. In verse 8, and it says, and you shall what? You shall receive what?
Power
when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. In other words, you will reflect my character because the gold is on you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, the assembling for power and witness. Why? Because the gold was being poured out. The anointing was being poured out. It was being overlaid upon us to reflect as a witness, to protect and preserve us. In Joshua 18. Joshua 18. In verse 1. Joshua 18, verse 1. It says, now the whole congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, assembled together at Shiloh and set up the what? There they are again. So when we assemble, we're actually setting up the tabernacle. And set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. Amen. Whoa, check it out. So the Lord subdued the land before them so they could what? Set up the tabernacle. Remember, we assembled to set up the tabernacle to be overlaid with the gold so that we can have what? Power to be a what? Witness. Let's go a little further. In verse 2, but there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not received their what? Inheritance. Oh, man. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I'm telling you, the lack of assembling will cause you not to receive your full inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? How long? Why are you not moving? Hello? Pick out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will go send them. And they shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts. Seven means what? Complete and perfect. And bring the survey here to me that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. Again, this assembling was for the inheritance and to subdue the enemy. What did they do? They set up the tabernacle. Why? Because they what? Assembled. Does everybody understand this? Sometimes we're not getting the fullness of the anointing of the Lord to overcome our enemy. Did you ever have a sense, man, I need to call someone? I need to call for help? Why? Because you want to share the... What are you doing? You're trying to get somebody to touch and agree. Why? Because when two are gathered, what's happening? He's in the midst. Why? Because what's happening? You're lacking something. And what are you lacking? The anointing, the gold. So you're calling someone. Why? So you can help set up a tabernacle. Does everybody get this? So if two can gather together, how about when 20 or 30 gather together, or 40 or 50 gather together? How much more anointing is there? Hallelujah. Acts 17. Acts 17. In verse 29. Acts 17, verse 29. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Therefore, since we are the what? Offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like what? Gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and what? Man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. In other words, repent. Why? Because they began to chase physical gold and not spiritual gold. In Matthew 23. In verse 16. Matthew 23 and verse 16. It says what? Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Whoa. Fools and blind, Jesus says. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies it? See, Jesus paid the price to sanctify the gold that sanctifies me and you. Amen? Here, many only understand the physical gold, but not the spiritual gold. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees did not understand the spiritual gold. They only understood the physical gold. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will become clearer, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But you can't build on physical gold. You can't build on physical. Does everybody get it? What's he saying? Again, they lost sight. They began to try to build their foundation on works and not by the presence of God. It's by what they were doing. Well, I do this. Remember Jesus said, many will come to me in that day, say, Lord, Lord, I've done this for you. I've cast out devils. I prophesied. I laid hands on the sick. Why? Because they were building their relationship with the Lord by their works, not by personal intimacy. See, they weren't pressing into the second or third chamber at all. Amen? And the physical will not stand. The physical gold won't stand, will it? And Psalm 135. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why, let's go build a tabernacle. Let's get saturated and overlaid with the anointing, the gold and oil of God, so that we can reflect His character. In Psalm 135, is everybody there? Let's try verses 13. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people, and He will have compassion on His servants. The idols of the nations are what? Silver and gold. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Even eyes, and they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouth. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Many men, even many individuals, are worshipped using the Lord's gold. Does everybody get it? They are worshipped by using the Lord's anointing. And that becomes an idol to people. We do not worship man. We don't worship a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet. We don't worship any of them. We worship the presence of God, the true gold. Amen. But many people seek after a man instead of God's presence. And what can a man do that God can't? You know? I know many people chase after prophets for the word. I need a word. I need a word. I need a word from the Lord. No, you need to get in God's presence and the word will come. That's all you need to do. And you'll know what's what. I was talking to somebody today who called me and said, I need a word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Should I go any further? Again, you need God's presence. You know. Or are you in fellowship? Well, in other words, if you're not in fellowship, you're not assembling the what? You're not setting up the what? Tabernacle where God's going to what? Meet you. Does everybody get this? I mean, this is a ploy of the enemy. You know that, right? He tries to separate us from assembling. That should be such a priority to me and you. That's a priority to assemble. Why? We got to set up the tabernacle. Why? So we can get dressed with gold and go out. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Do you ever notice that when you pour water on the gold, it beads up? It doesn't penetrate, does it? Second Timothy chapter 2. But man, when you buff it up, whew, what a glow. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, somewhere around, 19. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's rebellion, isn't it? But in the great house, there are not only vessels of what? How many of y'all want to be a vessel of gold? Amen. And silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Well, I can tell you the wood and clay ain't going to be for honor. The vessel of gold will be. Everything in the tabernacle is associated. Even the plates are gold. Everything is gold, representing the Lord's glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, associations bring impartations. You don't want to hang with silver when you're gold. And I'm not going to hang with wood if I'm gold. Hello? You want to get gold? Come on, let's build a tabernacle. Let's assemble a tabernacle. It says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Well, what's one of the snares of the devil? To forsake assembling. Amen. And having been taken captive by him to do his will. Has everybody got it? We want to be vessels of gold, which is a vessel of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 10. You know, when you learn and desire to live in that arena, and you see things differently, and you hear things differently, there are things that you can even say to people. I get texts and all kinds of stuff, and it's like, man, I can't even say anything. You know, it's called junk mail. I get stuff on Facebook, it's like, junk mail. Because you can't even explain what's what. Because they're so out of court, one leg in outer court, the other leg in outer darkness, that they do not understand your language. They don't understand. See, they just look at Jesus as Savior. They call Him Lord, but they really don't know Him as Lord. He becomes Lord over you when you allow Him to rule your life. See, you don't get to pick and choose. You don't say, well, Lord, I need this today, but tomorrow I'll take care of it. You know I asked you this morning, but I got it now. Thanks. He is Lord over your life. And in this place, there's such an arena of trust. And now I want to see if you can picture this, that his will begins to unfold. And you know that where his will, where things are unfolding, it's his will. It's like a, I can't explain it. It's like a, domino effect that just begins to unfold. And if you walk to it and it doesn't unfold, you know it's not God's will. You only walk in a path that begins to unfold. But see, you can't see that unless you've hit the most holy place. You can only assume it. And then some people go and knock down the domino thing. It's got poo, Will. Yeah, look at him go down now. It must be God's will. That door opened up. And then they say, well, God told me. He showed me. He confirmed it. The door opened. No, you kicked it open. Then you're trying to maintain it and sustain it because it wasn't God's will anyways or God's time. Is everybody okay? I'm telling you, God's will always unfolds. It's glorious. But you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to know it. And you got to be able to flow with it. There are things that, see, the Spirit tells us things to come, doesn't he? So there's a, be an impartation. You know something's about to happen. So you seek with all of your heart. You want to assemble the tabernacle. Because when you know something's about to happen, that's the Lord saying, come on. You know something's about to happen. Don't run. Establish a tabernacle. And get in and get the answer, man. Somebody get this. See, when you know something's about to happen, we all know something's about to happen. There's a global knowing something's about to happen. But when you know something's about to happen in your life, when God's, it's about God's will for you, that you know it's about to unfold, you got to go and trust. And then all of a sudden, you know. You know, I had a meeting today with somebody. And the Lord had told me about something weeks prior to my meeting today. And I knew something was going to unfold. But I didn't know how or what, but I knew I had to go to this meeting today. Because the Lord showed me that I had to go to this meeting today. Well, I didn't know the meeting was coming, but I knew that something was about to happen. So I was going, well, what do you want me? Then he shared with me what was what. And I just said, okay. And a few days later, I got the call from the person saying, hey, let's go to lunch. Why? It began to unfold. But I already knew. Does everybody get this? See, those things happen because you hit, you made it, you fought, you got into the most holy place, you got saturated with gold, the anointing. And there's no second guessing. Gosh, I wonder if, I wonder how. No. There's none of that. There's a knowing that you know that you know. And when it comes, you go. And if it begins to unfold, you know for sure. But you already knew ahead of time anyways. Because you have intimate relationship with him. With the one who created all things, knows all things, and controls all things. Is everybody going, okay? I know sometimes they sound a little weird, but sometimes you just can't, it's hard to explain in the physical. You need to draw a picture. You need an artist up here. Yeah. Okay, we don't need an artist up here. Where are we anyways? Thank you, Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Verse 24. Let's read it together. And let us consider one another in order to what? To what? Stir up love and what? Good works. And how are we going to do that? not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of y'all know the day's approaching? Amen. Man, we should be building, setting up tabernacles as much as we can. Assembling to set up the tabernacle, get overlaid with spiritual gold. To be a vessel of gold. Why? Because a vessel of gold is a vessel of honor. Let's go to James 5. I'm sorry. James 5. Starting at verse 1. It says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are what? Corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded." Why? Because it became contaminated. These are individuals that were layered with gold and now became contaminated. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and what? Luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earlier and what? Latter rain. That early and latter rain is associated with the saturation of God's glory, His presence, the gold. And it's established because a tabernacle has been set up. So when we come together, we set up the tabernacle of the Lord. We battle to get to the most holy place and get saturated with the gold that we are overlaid. In Revelation 3, Revelation 3. In verse 17. Ooh, hold on. Verse 15. Now there's something about the assembling and the setting up of the tabernacle and the gold. One of the things that happens is because you're hot. You're no longer lukewarm. Does everybody get it? You become hot for the Lord. You're not lukewarm. You're not wishy-washy. You've made a decision, and that decision is not something you're going to try. That decision says, I live a life to do. Not to try. I live a life to do. I choose to be hot for the Lord. I will not resist the assembling. I will cooperate. Does everybody understand this? Man, you know, when we first got saved, I could have slept outside the church doors. I couldn't wait till we assembled. Why? Because I was so excited to see what God was going to do with me and with everyone else. I love seeing people get filled with the Spirit. I love seeing people get healed. But see, there was an expectation. When we went in, we didn't just go in, okay. Yeah, let's just worship the Lord and see what God's going to do. When He's trying to do something with you. See, we come in with an expectation. I come in to come and see my dad. Here I am. I know you're in here. I'm going to find you. I'm going to peek through these veils and I'm going to bust through. I'm going to kick over the furniture and I'm going to look for you. Because when I find you, I change. When I find you, I'm in joy and I don't give a hoot about nothing. You know, my wife and I went to the doctor because our other doctor took off on a mission field and went somewhere else. So, you know, and we just like to be accountable and so forth to make sure we want to do the full run, the whole time that God has for us. So we get our blood work done and so forth. So we brought our blood work to this new doctor that we have. Sweet man of God. There's Word of God all over the place and Spirit filled. And so he comes out and he says, comes out with my blood work. He goes, I'm going to frame this. He said, I've never seen anyone's testosterone level so high in my life. Of course, he looked at my wife and said, poor lady. He said, your testosterone level is the age of a 14-year-old kid. He said, even the football players don't have it this high. And it has said, stress level. And I said, none. He said, I've never seen this. I have to frame it. He had it yellowed, highlighted on the testosterone level. It was a 14-year-old. It's off the charts. And it says, and no stress. He's like, what? And you know why? Most holy place. Most holy place. But if I'm not in there enough, Revelation 3. Verse 15. Hallelujah. 33 years. Hallelujah. We're in the office. My wife says, man. She was dying. Hallelujah. I think you'd text the picture. So we're in the office and he's got these colored glasses in there that supposedly do something. Color what? Colored therapy? You put these glasses on, it's supposed to, I don't know, so, hey, let's check them out. So the doctor walks in the office, there's me, Kate, and Lissy, all with these colored glasses. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, we just made ourselves at home. You know, we're getting therapy. Revelation 3, verse 15. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And you know, first of all, gold must be heated before you can pour it on something, then it cools off. Amen? But you know what happens? It stiffens up when it gets cool. Even if it's lukewarm. So we got to stay hot. So we're movable and moldable. And because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. And where is that gold refined? Now, I want you to understand, Jesus paid the price for me and you on the cross. And through his suffering and death, he refined that gold so that you and I could receive it. Again, the meeting place was in the most holy place of the Ark of the Covenant. I counsel you to buy. Buying means there's a price to pay. Amen. Not only denying yourself, but battling to get through those two chambers to the most holy place. That price of worship, that's the price we pay. Worship, we seek him with all of our heart. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be what? Rich. And white garments. And that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? See. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous in what? And repent. Buying the price is to deny self and assemble and worship. To set up the tabernacle. Worship releases the golden oil of the anointing. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll close here. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the word of or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Amen? Christ is who? God. So we are Christ's. We are his offspring. Remember, he is the tabernacle. If he is the tabernacle and we are the offspring, man, we've got to set up a tabernacle. We've got to get into the most holy place. We must be saturated with the golden oil so that we can be empowered with his presence, with his truth, reflect his character, and be preserved. Amen. The anointing preserves us all the way home. All the way home. So that we are rich. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And we are rich. We're rich with his wisdom. We're rich to know him. We are rich. So we are not gold seekers of the world. We are gold seekers of the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for the understanding of assembling and the reality of gold. The gold that comes from you. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to overlay us. Continue to fill us and establish your character in us and through us, that you may be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.